Today is 3/13/2022, and it's the second Lord's Day in Lent. Praise be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Now and forever.
A greeting to all the brothers and the inquirers. I'll go over to this last thing. And this is worth counseling on. It's a good question that Hector brought up a couple weeks ago. And here's his thing. Brother Richard, since you are online, I have a theoretical question. In case I have to go to war, am I allowed to commit treason? Since the Ukraine, Europe, is fighting for the Antichrist, I don't want to fight for them, and rather fight for the Russian army. Well, that's a good question. And the Russian army is definitely the lesser evil. But you got to think close about that question. I didn't want to answer right away because it takes time to think about. Here's my answer. I'm going to give you what my answer is, and then we can discuss it to see if I got the right answer. You can't just go out and commit treason or law. There's got to be a reason. Here's what I vote. Because, you know, let me just read what I got. While I pray and hope that the USA be destroyed because this harlot deserves nothing less, I will not fight with others against it unless the USA tries to force us Catholics to sin. In the same way, while we pray and hope that Russia kicks the ass off Austria, because Austria is a much greater evil than Russia, you cannot fight against Austria unless it tries to force Catholics to sin. The only way you could fight for your country, is if you cannot join the military because it requires you to do something sinful, or if a competent Catholic authority tells you not to. You need somebody to make that judgment, or you can make it yourself. There's no one to do it, but my thing is if they're trying to force you to do something sinful. A competent Catholic authority can also tell you to fight against your country. In this case, I, a competent authority, tell you not to fight against Russia, but not to fight against Austria either. But let it take its course. You know, stay out of it.
Be neutral,
even though you want Russia to win. And here's my point on all of that. And there's a couple things where popes would step in if the king was really bad in France, and they would take the power away from the king. And so you can now rebel against this king. It's not treason. You go kill the king, fight against him, don't pay his taxes. That could be done. And my question is, as long as they're not forcing you to do sin, you don't have a really big argument because you have the religious liberty to be Catholic. They're not forcing you to do something simple. And who knows, if the Russian came in because they're Orthodox, they might even be more severe on us who are Catholics and lock us, let us maybe still be Catholics, but we can't preach like I'm preaching now. In other words, if I was in Russia right now, even though Russia is way less evil than Europe, and because they have more, even though they're nominal Christians, they have more Christian values and morals, they really do. They are definitely better. And I believe God's going to convert a lot of people from Russia. That's where we're going to get our priests from. I believe that. But at this position, if we were in Russia, I don't think I'd be able to do what I'm doing right now. Because Putin wouldn't let me, and I would, he would let me probably be Catholic, so I'd stay in my ghetto, and I would be Catholic. Fine. And I don't think he would force me to be Orthodox or anything. He would say, you can still be Catholic, but you can't publicly preach it. Fine, I would accept that. But my point is, I'm better off over here now in the sense because I can preach, even though this is a much eviler country. So there's a lot of considerations to take in. And that's why my main thing is, there was one thing where one king was accusing Lupus, St. Lupus, or one of the saints, that are you praying against me because he was an Arian, and he was fighting the Catholic army. And he said something, are you working against me, and you're a citizen of my country? He says, I'm not committing treason. I'm not working against you. But I am praying for these other people that they could come in, but I'm not going to work against it. I'm just going to stay out of it. This is basically what he's telling this king. Because I guess the Arian king was not forcing St. Lupus and the Catholics to be Arians. So he's allowing them to be Catholic. But he was fighting Catholic nations that if they came in, they would have knocked him out. It would have been a total Catholic nation. So in that case, Lupus would pray for the Catholic nations to win, but he wouldn't fight against his own nation unless they forced him to do something sinful. Sort of what our Lord is trying to... Unless, if they do that, then you join up with the Catholic army. Yeah.
So what about David when he was with the Philistines?
Oh, yeah.
So were they doing, making him sin then? Or because he wanted to fight with the Philistines.
Yeah, yeah. Because Saul.
Okay.
Saul was threatening his life.
Right.
It was more than... That's another thing.
They
threaten your life.
Yeah.
It's war. Yeah. That's, if they come in and just start killing us, well, that's a done deal.
Yeah.
I You're my enemies. You're my friend. Your enemy's my friend. Yeah. That's another. Oh, I got. That's a good point you brought up, though. If they're threatening your life.
Yeah. So my question was, let's say
if they're threatening your life.
Go ahead. Say you're in a city and Russia's like gonna take the city, and then all the Allied forces are in retreat. Would you retreat with the Allied forces, or would you stay and wave the white flag and stay with Russia?
Say, mention that again.
Let's say we're living here, and Russia's like over there, and then the Allied forces are like, we got to retreat, and Russia's going to take
the... I'll go with the Russians.
Yeah, you stay and wave the white flag.
Yeah, because that's the war. Yeah, we'll go. That's what you're praying for.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're praying for the Russians to come in. I am, even now.
Right, the Chinese.
Yeah. I'm praying for the Russian and Chinese. They come in, I'm going right over to them. Yeah. But until they come in...
Yeah.
I'm not going to be treason on my own country.
Right. That makes sense.
Unless you're forcing me to commit a sin. Although I'm praying for her to fall down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other point you brought up, which is true, which is it's an obvious kind of, but I got to put it in here. If they start killing you.
Yeah.
David was being hunted down by Saul.
Yeah.
Him and his men, they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He stays here. You don't offer up yourself to be martyred. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to capture you. So David ran and fought with the Philistines. That's a good example of... Not only if they're threatening you to sin, but if they're trying to kill you, you know. And usually, when I started to kill Catholics, they would flee.
Yeah.
They would go to another country.
Now, what if,
I'm gone, man. I'm out of here.
What if
I'm going to another country? Whoever accepts me, I'm gone.
What if Ukraine or whatever forces a draft on the people in there? Like, you got to fight against Russia. This is your duty as a citizen of Ukraine. Then what would
you have to have a competent authority to tell you whether you can fight in the war or not.
Yeah.
You know, if I was the head, which I am, a competent authority, I would tell him no.
Yeah.
That's what you can't.
Not just a checker, but you have to appeal to a competent authority.
Yeah, because if everybody makes their own decision, it's chaos. One guy could think he has the right over a little infraction, and he commits treason. Then you got treason happening all over the place.
Yeah.
If you let individual people make those judgments, sometimes it's so obvious you don't need a competent authority if they start killing you.
Yeah.
If it's obvious that they're trying to force you to sin, you need a competent authority. That's like in your face.
Yeah.
If it's a complicated political situation, you need a competent authority.
Yeah.
That's why I said during World War II, what these anti-popes should have done, these apostate bastards, should have supported the Axis powers against the Allies. The Allies were a much, much, much greater evil. Freemasons and Talmudic Jews.
Yeah.
And how do we know that?
Yeah.
The Axis powers lost that war in 1945. They're gone. 65 years, 70 years.
Yeah.
Who's messing the world up today?
Yeah.
Who are the key players messing up the world? The Allied powers. The Masonic Talmudic Jews.
Yeah.
Any pope who's worth his grain of salt or whatever is the word they use there, his position, would have told everybody you cannot fight against the Axis. You have to join. You either fight in the Axis army against the Allies, or if you're living in the United States, you cannot take up arms and fight against the Axis power.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's what should have been done.
By the way, I do believe that Ukraine is mandated to fight if you're a certain age. I think you
you're
to go in.
And not like now in the United States even. You can't join the military for another reason, because these homosexuals are out in the open, and feminism.
Yeah.
And the oath, too, right?
And the oath.
Yeah.
There's three reasons why you can't join the military, regardless, even if it's a just war.
Yeah. And on the flip side, Russia, I don't know, wonder if Russia has some oath, too, would be bad.
Or what about Ukraine?
You know what I mean?
Somebody else are neutral, and they do. Somebody would have, has reading an oath? Oh, that's strange. I forget. Chinese station, or was it the Russian? Some people have a neutral oath, where you could take it. Like the pagan Romans.
Well, the Romans.
Yeah. You had a lot of Christians fighting the pagan Roman army, so they,
Legion, right?
Whatever oath they had, it was not heretical or idolatrous, and they were allowed to fight the Theban. Every day you're reading about Christians in a pagan Roman army.
Yeah.
But in this case, too, I would, I am a competent authority, say you cannot fight against Russia. You may not be able to fight for them, but you can't fight against them. And you can't help your country fight against Russia. You have to stay neutral, stay out of it.
Yeah.
Let it take its course. And pray for Russia to win.
Yeah.
And even China now, because to punish this country. But I will not openly start plotting against this country and working behind its back unless they try to tell me to do something.
So Ukraine has a mandatory, let's say you had a Catholic in Ukraine, and they're mandatory to go, all the men have to
No, you can't go.
Yeah.
No.
They just go to jail and
go to jail.
Kill you.
No, I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to
exactly.
go. If I was the Pope, a competent authority, or a bishop even, told me I can't do it.
Would you try to get refugee status in Russia? Like, let's say they're forcing you to a jail. Would you try to say, I don't want to fight for Russia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If
he's
going to
put you in jail, yeah. Then you appeal for refugee status.
You just wave the white flag.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight.
Yeah, you run over to the Russian side.
Yeah.
That's like, Snow. I think is pretty fortunate? Snowden.
Yeah.
He's in a good place.
Yeah.
Ahead of time. You know.
Yeah.
But if they're going to put you in jail,
yeah.
it's sort of like killing you, too.
Yeah.
They're locking our families up in jail.
Yeah.
They're killing us.
Yeah.
Then you can start running over to another country.
Yeah.
Just run over and try to get citizenship, or at least, what do you call it? What's the word?
Refugee
status,
Like Poland.
Yeah. So it's a good question he had, and you have to think about it, though, before you answer it so quick. But, look what these anti-popes did with the Christoros. Watch the movie and get the vomit bag ready when you look at what these anti-popes did. They left them out there hanging all alone. All alone. And they could have got all Europe to help them. They were Freemason, Talmudic Jewish bastards that left the Christoros on their own.
Yeah.
They cut their army like down in size, and they stopped helping them and all that. They could have won that war.
Yeah.
That's just one proof that Pius XI, these anti-popes were also, I think, either Freemasons or at least humanists, strongly influenced by the Freemasonic ideals.
Because it seems like in that movie that the Knights of Columbus here were pretty good. They were
mm-hmm.
trying to help the Christoros.
Yeah, in this country.
And they were,
yeah.
right, because they were given that... The secretary
yeah.
had a bunch of, you know.
Yeah, the Knights of Columbus were trying to help him. And
then he got undercut by the...
Oh, and then, but then when the Pope, when he said that, the Knights of Columbus couldn't help him no more.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
yeah. So he cut off all their help.
Yeah.
He cut, the anti-popes cut off their financial ammunition support, their supplies, ammo, money, and their spiritual, like by telling them you can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost a lot of the people in their army, too,
right.
fighting. And the opposite, if they would have supported them, more money, more ammo, France, Italy, Spain sends their army over. Imagine that. They're dead. But they were all under control of Freemasons, Italy, France, Spain. That movie proves that, doesn't it? These bastards. These bastard apostate anti-popes. Selling out their own people.
I think, too, it'd be kind of good if Russia takes over Austria because maybe they won't do the mandates.
yeah.
you know,
well, they got rid of them, the
Hitler
said. Yeah.
But they could bring them back.
They can bring them back,
yeah.
Now, any questions on that so far? I'll take any questions.
I think Hector was here.
He'll get the audio.
We'll tell him that I mentioned that in here so he can hear him. I'll take a couple... Minutes, if there's any questions.
Imagine how relieving that would be to Hector, you know, to get that answer.
Yeah.
You know, to know that you've given him, you know, the proper way. Who else in the world could give him that?
If the Pope gave you, if he was a real Pope and gave you the right answer, what power there is in that?
Yeah.
And Popes did do that. They would tell, if you had a bad king in France, they would tell you, withdraw your allegiance from him and fight against him. You know, when you're watching in Rome, when even your emperor suddenly went bad, like Nero, remember when Nero finally went bad, they put the rule out when they finally got Nero. They said, Nero's so bad, they put the law and said, everybody in Rome, it's your duty to not give him any support, to not give him any food, and to kill him if you can. To kill him if you can.
Yeah.
They were trying to do that with Julius Caesar, too.
That's such a good scene in Charlemagne where he finally he condemns all the bad clerics that are right there trying to, you know, get the wrong pope.
Oh.
That shows you that the church can be evil. It can do bad things.
Oh, certainly. And when the church does bad
an
things.
Answer for it.
Yeah. There's nothing worse when the true church does bad things or even so-called nominal Catholics doing bad things. It undermines, because of the power that's intrinsic that the church was given. In other words, the church is your only hope, and when it's not, when it changes and it's not the true church anymore, it's a false church. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's a complete opposite. You went from something that could have helped you greatly to something that's going to hurt you worse than the Jew, worse than the Freemason. That's why you infiltrated the Catholic Church. That's why he got these guys to go in here, Freemasons and Talmudic Jews, to infiltrate and to get in there.
like your own father and your family betraying you. And
that's right. And you're losing the only weapon you really have to fight against evil, which is the true Catholic Church. Now it's gone. Remember they said, wait till that's what holiness taken away so Antichrist can come to power, and that was a true pope, the true papacy in the hierarchy. It's been gone for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years now, they've been just getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in evil. More perverse, more evil, more... All the one-time Catholic kingdoms are gone. They were pretend kingdoms.
Richard.
Yeah.
Should the Cristeros have ignored of the Vatican, Pius XI?
What's that? Should they have...
Should the Cristeros ignore the Vatican?
Yeah. In that case, for sure.
He did, remember?
Because he did, too.
But then
he did.
A lot of them left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He lost half his army.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah, ones that left, maybe they're not bad neither, but they shouldn't have left, really, because their life was threatened, their religion is threatened, and they're forcing to sin. Mm-hmm. They're telling you can't go to church. That's when you start fighting.
But then he opened up.
That's legitimate disobedience.
Remember, they opened up the churches.
Because I believe he was the Pope.
But they opened up the churches, but they didn't get rid of Calais. He wanted to get rid of Calais and Nicaea.
Yeah.
But when they gave him limited thing because they could open the thing, they could go to Mass still, you know what I mean? So that's why.
Yeah, but he knew that every time he did that, he would reverse his decision, and he wasn't sincere.
He wasn't sincere. Yeah.
And there was other stipulations where you can only have your local bishops, no bishops from Europe were coming over. There wasn't just that. He still had them under some grip.
Wasn't he in a position too where he almost had some power where he could overthrow it?
Right. You don't stop somebody in the middle of a war.
Yeah.
You don't. See, here's why they had the right. Because the war's already started.
Yeah.
He's already not obeying your government. Okay. Give me a good reason. Look, he's a Freemasonic government controlled by dominant Jews.
Right.
We started this war on that premise. Mm-hmm. I want the guy out. I want a Catholic government. That was the purpose of that war.
Yeah.
And when that Pope came, and when he knew he was winning that war, the Pope tells you stop?
Yeah.
No. I disobey you.
Yeah.
I disobey you. Our goal is to make it Catholic Mexico. I want a Catholic king, Catholic hierarchy, secular government. I want the Masons out of here. You can't stop them when they're halfway through the war.
Yeah.
And that's another issue.
Yeah.
Where they had every right to disobey that, even if it was a true pope. Now, I'm not going to listen to you. It's like you started this thing. We're ready to knock the guy out. And now you're telling us to back out. You want the Freemasonic government to stay in here. And don't you realize he's giving you a little bone by you can open the churches. He's a Freemason. He don't like you. How many times you close and open the churches? They wanted to end that. I want guy out of here. I want this to be a Catholic church.
Oh, like you were saying, like if they did, like those that left, they could have still stayed. Like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
They could have left. Yeah, they obeyed. They were sinning.
They don't know the deeper.
Yeah.
They don't know.
No, the ones that didn't fight were not sinning.
Right.
They weren't.
Yeah.
They weren't sinning because they thought he's telling them
right.
So neither one of them were sinning in what they did. But I give more credit to the ones that disobeyed.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But it was, like the ones that didn't fight.
They weren't sinning.
Exactly.
The Pope told us not to fight,
exactly.
We don't fight.
Right.
They weren't committing to sin in doing that.
Right.
So there's allowable opinions on both sides.
Exactly.
And God can weigh that out in the end. And it's not a hard one for me to figure out.
No.
So
right.
I got to say, keep fighting.
Yeah.
Not only keep fighting, no one really helped them the way they should. Think about it. In France, because, if that ever did happen, then you'd be threatened world. Let's go to World War then.
Yeah.
There was no nuclear bomb back then. Let's go to World War.
Yeah.
Let's stop the bullshit into the Masonic governments.
Yeah.
But they already controlled Europe.
Yeah, I know.
They already controlled Europe. And then Mexico wanted to knock off that yoke.
It was the Irish, too, right? Or the Eastern Rebellion with Daniel Connolly. Against the English
like
that, you could have had.
Oh,
they could have.
During World War, the Irish were supporting Hitler.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are they neutral? What did you say? They didn't go.
No, no. The Irish people, the country itself, because
they
don't control it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. I know what you mean. No.
When they got in the war, Britain controlled Ireland. But the Irish people supported.
The South was by itself.
The IRA and Irish Catholics, they supported Hitler.
Right.
Yeah, the others supported Britain. The Britons, the Irishes that were Anglicans, that converted to the Anglican Church, they supported Britain.
Right.
Because Britain was, they didn't like the Catholics.
Right.
The Irish Protestants didn't like the Irish Catholics.
No, right.
See? Yeah. So the Irish Catholics, the Irish thing, they liked Hitler.
Yeah.
They supported Hitler, but they had no power.
Right.
They weren't in power.
Yeah.
They had no government.
Yeah.
Who was in power in Ireland at that
time? Well, I'm saying like the South, though. The South was it the South neutral? Because that's Northern Ireland. South.
No, this is modern. This just happened recently. They'll know, but
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Let me ask you guys in Ireland. At the time of World War II, did you guys have your independent European Union sections divided north and south at the time of the World War II?
Yeah.
I don't know Irish history, so.
Well, it came about 1916. The country was, we had the north and south then. The border came in 1926. Before World War II, then?
Okay.
Yeah, World War II.
The Catholic part was where, in the north?
No, south.
In the south. Okay. Did you have your own government, really, or no? Did you really have your own government?
We had their own, the Doyle, the parliament was established 26, Devil Era under Devil Era.
Okay.
So, the British parliament was handed over then to the rebels, that won the Civil War. Yeah, the Doyle, as they call it.
Okay, so then
you... Yeah, it was 26 established, there were two parties established.
Then it's that side that supported Hitler.
Right.
That side. Yeah, the South. The North...
The photos of them were showing their support for Hitler.
Yeah. Oh, so I didn't even know that they had their own government. I thought it was a pseudo-government, where, they pretended to give him power. What was the thing about Mark McGuinness and all that by giving him some type of power?
That's in the north.
North.
Yeah.
I got it.
Now, were they technically on the books, Ireland, with the Axis power? Were they, neutral, or, were they...
No,
they favored Hitler.
They favored Hitler, Spain favored Hitler,
right.
But they didn't get involved in the war.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if they actually, because...
That's what I'm saying, maybe you could ask.
I know they favored Hitler, but they might have been...
That's what I was getting at, the country itself.
Oh, yeah.
Did they fight in World War II?
I don't think so.
They did, right?
Neither did Spain.
Yeah.
That Franco should have really got involved. That's kind of... He was good, but not good enough. He stayed neutral, but it wasn't neutral, really.
Not
he
not.
Let the Germans use his bases and sub-bases,
mm-hmm.
So he really was letting the Germans in his country. He allowed them to fly over his zones.
And
he allowed their submarine bases, but they didn't fight in the war.
He did the Machiavelli thing.
He did the Machiavelli thing. That's a different kind of nothing.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
What do you mean nothing?
Yeah.
I mean nothing.
Yeah.
Let them pass it. Well, that's a different kind of nothing. That's
going
to cost you something.
Yeah.
So I see. So then the Southern Irish, of course, they wanted Hitler to win because they're fighting against the English. And of course, the Northern Irish were supporting the British.
The Easter Rising in 1916, that was to get a little bit of relief in the Northern Ireland. Right?
That's interesting that they got so much power. That's pretty good. I mean, I didn't think they really actually. That's pretty interesting, you know. I mean, that's like God. You can see God's hand allowing them to make their own things down there. That's a pretty good. It shows you that when you fight, you get certain things. If you don't fight, you're a wimp. If you fight when you have to fight. So at that point, that's a pretty good thing that they were able to get. I mean, has anywhere in the United States we had a place where Catholics are allowed to have their own government? Just Catholics and have their own place? We haven't even had that here. We don't have that here. It's sad because Ireland went bad in the South also, like a lot of your places that are so-called Catholic. But still, I think that was something to be said about that victory that he had back then. But I know morally they supported the Germans. I think they even supported them financially and with arms, with weapons. I think they did. If you study the history on that, they sent them weapons and they might have supported them with financially. Go ahead.
So the Easter Rising insurrection in Ireland during Easter week 1916, the rising was launched by Irish Republicans against British rule in Ireland with the aim of establishing an independent Irish Republic while the United Kingdom was fighting the First World War.
I thought they had it. I thought they had to allow some.
So then that means in the South, all the Brits, all the power of England, there was no power at all. Not like I thought they were a secret power in the back, where they just let them believe they were free, but they weren't free. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, Richard, that goes after telling me something about that. Well, during World War II, Churchill. Asked Devil Era, who was the first Prime Minister, to give him his ports Deloitte, Britain to use his ports, and in return, he'll grant them an orbit of United Ireland after the war. But De Valera wouldn't agree to it, basically because he didn't believe him. I asked for it in writing, and Churchill wouldn't put it in writing. But then, Declan sounds interesting here about De Valera when he got a what was Declan from? Was it? And 48 plus, you
say that again, sir? 19. Go ahead.
Please.
You're going in and out. Say it again. It's going in and out. Go ahead.
It's just in relation to the constitution was changed shortly after Ireland's independence, but there was a bit of compromise there in 1932.
Interesting.
Yeah, small bit of, I mean, yeah, but there were one or two constitutions changed.
So
two articles changed.
And so in 1932, from what I'm understanding, did the British get a little bit more power in there? Did they get their claws back in a little bit?
Yes, yeah.
You see?
Oh, they did?
Yeah. And definitely Europe, I probably would have listened, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So it's interesting to study the history on that. Which is a whole history lesson. Go ahead.
So I got a question. So Northern Ireland was controlled by the British. Southern Ireland was controlled by the Irish.
Yeah. No, the Catholics.
Irish. And so the Easter Rising was to try to unify all of Northern Ireland.
No, it was just to get power in this. Wasn't the result of the Easter Rising when they split it up? That's what he said. That's when they got the South.
Okay.
They didn't get the whole piece.
Okay.
They didn't give them the whole pie.
Yeah.
But what he's saying now, in 1932, something happened where the British got their claws in there a little bit in the Constitution. So they weaseled in a little bit.
Yeah.
And so you probably have people in the south of Ireland that were, some might have been supporting the Allied powers. But from what I understood, the majority, at least that the Irish were pro-Nazi, they were helping them financially, and they were also helping them with weapons. That's what I heard. But you'd have to
study. Like I said, they didn't declare anything. Though,
right? No, they didn't declare anything, And it could be because of what they're bringing up now in the 1932 agreement where some Brits got in there, which were preventing that from happening. So that's a whole history lesson we'd have to study.
Britain gave them, before 1916, it was all British.
Yeah.
They gave them Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the result of that war.
Yeah. Northern states.
Yeah.
Protestant.
And so then what Dermot was saying there, so then in 1932, Churchill was...
That's World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
32 is when they got into the Constitution and the Brits got their hands, had a little bit of power in the South. Something with that constitution. And that, which would make sense, then you have some people that were in the South that were pro-British.
Yeah.
In the South, even.
Yeah.
That were being influenced by their constitution that was changed in 1932. Mm. So you had some pro-people that were pro-British from the South, which is what this, you see, they would want to do that.
Yeah.
They would want to flip them over to pro-Britain and flip them. So there's that battle going on there. Now, of course, to get in the war, what are they going to do? Well, they could fight because they got weapons. But what I understood was they gave them financial support, and they also gave them
It sounded like Churchill was trying to entice them in for using their ports. Like,
yeah.
Use the ports, we'll give them.
And he said the guy was going to allow him to even do it, but then he didn't put it in writing, so something happened there. Which means the guy wasn't 100% who's going to allow Churchill to use his ports.
Yeah.
That guy wasn't 100% neither.
Yeah.
But you know what's going on in the background, though, possibly with the political leaders in the South? Churchill could say, if you don't do this, we're going to go to war against you and take away your independence in the South. Because
Your
independence in the South was precarious.
Yeah.
You had the English on both sides of them.
Yeah.
They could have crushed them at any moment.
Yeah.
So let's go into the back room and hear what's going on.
Yeah.
If you guys support the Axis powers, we're going to declare war. Mm-hmm. And that would be a declaration of war. Mm-hmm. If they did, think about why they couldn't go in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they did, they would have crushed them like in about a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The English would have sent their army into the north,
yeah,
and then by sea, and no more Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. That's what's going on in the background. So you can't blame all the leaders, neither.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on in the background.
Yeah.
Then so they stayed neutral. But I guarantee you, the British said, if you start to go to war and support Russia, you're declaring war against Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't in a position to do that. Look at their position on a map. They're right next to England. And the north and the north is controlled by England. They would have been crushed. Okay, so I think we're just about ready to start with the mass prayers.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.